Shalom Mishpocha. Shalom family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. We're the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form what Paul calls in the book of Ephesians, one new humanity. Or in many translations, one new man. But it's really in the Greek, it's one new humanity which will become the full dwelling place of God. It's as if a Christian believer in the Messiah is incomplete and a Jewish believer in the Messiah is incomplete. But when the two spiritual DNAs come together, it makes a full dwelling place for God and forms the one new humanity. It's a new species of being that has never existed previously. And one of the things that concerns me and concerns my guest, Peter Horben, and I'm speaking to him by way of telephone in at his home. And I believe, Peter, it's Lancaster, England.
It is indeed, and it's great to speak to you, Sid.
Oh, well, it's been too long, Peter. But one of my concerns, and I know one of your concerns, is when someone has a marvelous experience with the Lord and gets saved, it seems as though they carry the baggage that they had from before being saved. Some they get rid of, but they still have a lot of this baggage, and that's never really addressed that much by the church. In fact, Jesus said not to make converts, but to make disciples. And what you teach is a missing element in what is taught in most discipleship that I know of in most churches.
Well, I think it's an absolutely vital element. When Jesus was giving advice to the disciples on how to pray, one of the things he said in what we call the Lord's Prayer was, "Your kingdom come on earth." And so often we look at becoming a believer and receiving Yeshua, becoming born again of the Spirit of God, as an escape, as it were, when we die into heaven. But when Jesus told the disciples to pray, he said, "Your kingdom come on earth." Now, kingdom means the reign of the king. And where the reign of the king is in place, you have kingdom authority. And when Jesus ministered healing to people, he was ministering in the authority which he had, because he was above all powers, above all other spiritual beings, and he had absolute authority. And so he told the disciples, "You go and do the same. You go and minister in my name with my authority, and you bring the kingdom of God, the power of the Spirit of God on earth to those who are in need."
Peter, the question that many good believers ask is, I know God can heal. I know God wants to heal. But how come it's been year after year after year, and I've prayed and I've stood by faith, and people tell me I don't have enough faith, but why am I not healed? People are saying that all over.
Mm-hmm.
You have the answers.
Yeah, many people are looking for healing. But, you know, there's one of the ladies we prayed with over a long period of time. And she came to a place halfway through that process of healing. She came out of psychiatric care to us originally. And she got to a stage when she realized that she wouldn't get any further until her relationship with Jesus was more important to her than her healing. And many people...
You know, I don't hear that enough. All I hear is, you don't have enough faith. You have to meditate more on the promises.
Yeah, but that's how it gets dressed up, is saying, oh, you haven't got enough faith. But you see, when we have that relationship with Jesus that's really intimate, and we want him above all things, and we want him more than our healing, then actually he can speak to us about the things that need healing. And many of the symptoms that people struggle with are caused by things that they are not addressing. So they want the symptoms dealt with, but they're not addressing the real cause. And sometimes deep in the heart, there's bitterness, there's unforgiveness, the relationships that have gone sour, there's traumas that they've experienced in the past. And in a sense, they bury them and say, oh, that's the past. I just want to be healed now. And yet, there is a link between the things that have happened to us and the present circumstances. And yes, Jesus, with his anointing, could overcome all that. But actually, He wants us to exercise our own choice to walk in his way, to want what he gives us, to give us the freedom that only he can give. And that means we've got to actually apply the truth of the word of God in our lives. In John 8:31, Jesus is talking to disciples, and he says that the truth will set you free. But that sentence, the truth will set you free, is part of a much longer sentence. And it begins with the word is. And when you have the word if, it means there's something that you've got to do in order to come into line with what's being said. And so it says, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so many of the people who are looking for healing, they're looking to Jesus to come and heal the symptoms, oh Lord, increase my faith. But actually, they're ignoring some of the teaching that Jesus gave. And if they obey the teaching, then they become disciples. Then they know the truth. And then they discover that the truth will set them free.
Yeah, you know, I am so excited over your series that we're going to be making available. Obviously, a lot of other people are excited because you have 20 healing centers around the world, and it's growing all the time. The thing that I want people to understand is how God hand-trained you to disciple others so that they can be whole, so that they can fulfill their destiny. And I think it's kind of neat that at 4 years old, your mother couldn't find you one day. You were standing on a bucket preaching to a group of kids at 4 years old. I was not thinking about preaching to a group of kids, especially being Jewish, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, I don't think I went out to actually find a congregation, but I learned it by watching my father, and then in my heart I knew that what he was saying was true, and so I gathered all the kids together, and I began to tell them the same stories that my father was telling. And when I went missing, all the other kids in the road were missing as well, so there was a group of mothers all looking for their lost children, and they discovered them all listening to me at the age of four.
And then you were restoring a sports car. This was in about 1970, and you heard the audible voice of God, which set almost in stone the course of your life. Tell me about that.
Yeah. See, God speaks to us in the ordinary as well as in the spiritual. And I think sometimes we try and divide the spiritual from the secular, but actually God doesn't divide those at all. Everything he created, and wherever we are, we're in him. And so I was setting about to rebuild an old sports car. And when I got the car stripped down to the bare metal of the steel girders, the chassis on which the car was built, I saw that it was bent. And you can't drive a car with a bent chassis. You can't stop it properly, you can't steer it. And I was in my mid-20s, and I began to cry at the time. I thought, oh, I'll never be able to rebuild this lovely old car. And God was there right with me in the garage. I didn't expect him. It was a shock. And he spoke right into my spirit, and he said, you could restore this broken car, but I can restore broken lives. Then he asked me a question, which is more important? I wanted to say that the car was more important because I put a lot of work into it, but I knew that was the wrong answer. I knew that the restoring of broken lives was what God was putting into my spirit for my personal destiny. I've been looking for it for years. But
then a few years later, it got even more specific. You were helping a woman that was very, very distressed.
Yeah.
And you heard again from God. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I'd recently been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that God had come upon me in his spirit, very much like it was at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. I felt a fire of God burning within me. And then shortly after that, I was asked to help a lady who was very distressed. She was crying. She couldn't get her words out. She couldn't express what her problem was. And as I looked at her, God spoke to me right into my spirit and said, this woman is being sexually abused by a lodger in her own home, and she's too ashamed to tell you about it. So you tell her that you know what her problem is. I was quite embarrassed. I thought, I can't do this. And yet I saw the distress in the woman's face. I thought, I'm going to have to risk this. This is my faith, to actually risk telling this woman what I thought God was saying. And I thought, if I got this wrong, this is going to be terrible. But it was right. And every word I said, she said, was absolutely correct. And she began a road to healing that night by forgiving the man who'd abused her. And I learned a huge lesson that night, to listen to the voice of God and obey him. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. And I really loved Jesus. And I went out on a limb in faith and said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this. And it was the beginning for me of that vision with the car coming to fruition. And on the way home that night, God spoke again right into my spirit and said, I want you to spend the rest of your life bringing healing to those in need and teaching others how to do it. And actually, that's the only reason I'm talking to you today, Sid.
Well, you have a supernatural gift to make these truths so clear. And people go to your seminars at these centers all over the world and other places. But most people can't do that. And that's why I'm so excited. We have one of your series. It's called the Freedom Series that we're making available. And it covers areas that many Christians are familiar with, but areas that most Christians don't have a clue about. And some of the areas that people have problems in, like, for instance, you teach about freedom from trauma. You teach about freedom in your relationships and how you're literally controlled by the past through ungodly soul ties. You teach about freedom from fear. You teach about people that have had these traumas, like in a war situation or such as the situation the woman you just spoke about. And then you show people how to get free. And once they're free, they walk into their destiny. They walk into their healing. And I can't wait for our people to get this. In fact, I want everyone listening to me to get this series, listen to it, get free, and then use it as Bible studies. Start your own ministry. 6 CDs for a gift of $35. They include Freedom from the Enemy, Freedom from Fear, Trauma, Stress, Ungodly Soul Ties, Freedom for Your Destiny, Freedom in Your Thinking. Call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697, 1-800-447-2697. My guest, Peter Horben, is red hot for the Messiah. In yesterday's broadcast, we found out that he was awakened one night with the fire of God. But it was a whole lot more than just the fire of God. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Were you speaking in tongues and supernatural languages at that time, Peter?
I was after that.
It was almost as if you were being anointed for this new ministry. But there was one woman that came to you some 20 years ago, and she was anorexic and suicidal. Tell me about her.
Yeah, it was 25 years ago. She was on our very first healing retreat after the work began back in 1986. And she arrived at the beginning of the retreat. She's a very short lady, but she was at hardly anything of her that was left. Now, I only heard the whole story just a few years ago when she told her whole testimony to a church congregation. And she described how she was totally suicidal. For 14 years, she'd been anorexic. She'd gone through a tough childhood of her own life. Her marriage was breaking apart. And she walked into a church in England and did a deal with God. She said, God, unless you do something, I'm going to commit suicide. As she walked out of the church that day, she saw a leaflet for LL Ministries, and she heard about the retreat, and she telephoned me. And she spoke to me for about 20 minutes on the phone, and I laughed when she told me what I said. I said, well, why don't you wait till after the retreat to commit suicide? And I thought that probably wasn't very good advice, but she came on the retreat. And on the first night of the retreat, she got born again of the Spirit of God. She knew about Jesus. She'd gone to church many times, but she did not know Jesus for herself. On the second night, she got filled with the Spirit. The third day, she got delivered of a spirit of infirmity that was controlling her whole body, and she was completely changed. And on that third day, there was her husband came to collect her. The marriage had been falling apart, and he didn't really even want to collect her again. But when he arrived, so much snow on the ground, he couldn't get away. So he had to wait for 4 hours inside our center. And we fed them some fish and chips. And he watched his wife eat fish and chips. And before, she could only drink liquids for 14 years because she was anorexic and only took tiny amounts. And she ate a whole plate of fish and chips, and he was so shocked that he came on a retreat, and he got born again. He then went to Dallas Theological Seminary and trained in evangelism, and today she is an evangelist with the Salvation Army. And she would have been dead except that Jesus set her free.
She would have been dead, but she would have, for sure, if she hadn't been dead, never fulfilled her destiny. That's got to give you so much satisfaction.
Oh, absolutely. We encourage people to believe that God has a destiny for each and every person. Every one of us is unique before God. We've all got different gifts and different abilities, and people have a destiny that He has prepared for them in advance. But so many things have happened in people's lives that Satan, who is a destiny robber, prevents people from entering into the fullness of all that God has in store.
You know, I almost feel that the devil doesn't know the future, but he has insight that someone has a special destiny, and he sabotages them before they can even get started.
Yeah, he may not be able to see all the future, but what he can see is what God has given to us in the present. So if he sees somebody with their giftings and abilities and what God has planned for them, he has an idea of what's ahead, and he will oppose that. He will oppose everything that comes from God, and he has a right to do that because man submitted himself to Satan at the fall. And when man submits himself to Satan, then Satan uses the rights that he's been given by man, and he'll want to oppose everything that comes from God into our lives.
I kind of look at myself. And I was involved as a Jewish person, a non-believer in Jesus, in what is called today the New Age. Back then it was called the occult. And I came so close to losing my mind, to being dead. I mean, it's an absolute miracle that I survived. The devil tried to stop me before I even got started. Why is it that most people that have been involved in these things, they have a marvelous experience with the Lord, but they're still not free? Why aren't they just free instantly when they're born again?
Well, there is a process of cleansing. When we're born again, we're immediately forgiven for all our sin. So forgiveness restores the relationship with God. But forgiveness, which restores relationship, doesn't deal with everything that's in our past that now needs cleansing. So we deal with the future through our salvation. We receive hope, we receive new life, and we know that our eternal destiny is in God. But then we have to say, God, I now want all that you've given me to be applied into my life. I want to deal with the bitternesses. I want to deal with the unforgivenesses. I don't want to deal with the wrong relationships. I don't want them anymore to be there. And this is what discipleship is all about. And Jesus gave us that great commission, go into all the world. But he didn't say, go and make believers. He said, go and make disciples. We cannot make anyone a Christian. Nothing that we can do can make somebody born again. He said, that comes from God. You're born from God. And so the Spirit of God comes into a person and they're born again. But then he gives us the responsibility to make the disciples. And if we miss out on that discipleship process, we don't give people the opportunity to actually face themselves and to make right choices, to deal with the ungodliness. And if you don't do that, then they are still left with all the stuff, as it were, there, unresolved often, forgiven of sin, but not healed on the inside.
And you know what's so amazing to me? People can go 20, 30 years with these wounds not fulfill their destiny, not walk in freedom, and not even know why.
Absolutely, yeah. And so when we pray with people, we face these real issues. And a lot of things happen in early childhood, for example, where relationships with parents can be wrong, or where there's been abuse. And
tell me about that story I read about of a father wanted his son to be a doctor, and what happened to the son who didn't want to be a doctor.
That's right. This man who was went to in the Second World War, and because of the war, he missed out on his opportunity to train as a doctor, and he wanted to be a doctor. And he made a vow. He said, if I have a son, my son will be the doctor that I could never be. And so he had a son, and when his son grew up, his son didn't want to be a doctor, but in order to please his father, he trained as a doctor. Now, at the age of 50, this man was pensioned out of the medical service because he was totally depressed. He was now becoming suicidal, and he was on high medications. He could no longer function. Now, what had actually happened to him was that he was actually living something that God had not made him for. He was out of his destiny. And when we actually talked it all through, and he forgave his father, he was then released. Almost in his childhood, he's now a man of 50, yet on the inside, he was locked into his relationship with his father. And when he forgave his father and released his father from all the responsibility for what had happened to him, this man not only got delivered, but he got healed and restored.
Now, you see this sort of thing often when people go to your seminars.
Mm.
It is a matter of fact. That's why I'm so excited to release to you. Most of you can't go to one of these seminars, but what is called the Freedom Series, it's 6 CDs, and let me just tell you some of them. One is how to have freedom in relationships, how to have freedom from trauma, even trauma that was so bad that it's been buried many years, how to have freedom from fear. And that's a biggie. Peter, there are so many people struggling with fear. I know people. I can see them. I can see that, for lack of better words, a spirit of fear on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they pray and they pray and they never get free.
Yeah, that's right. And one has to find out where that root is. We prayed for a lady who had a fear of feathers. Now, that may seem a strange thing to be afraid of, but she would be absolutely paranoid about feathers. She couldn't even sit down on a sofa without finding out if there were feathers stuffing it, because she'd scream and she couldn't understand why. She finished up on high doses of medication and psychiatric care, but nothing could shift this fear of feathers until we asked the Holy Spirit to expose the root of this. And the Lord brought right to the surface the memory and a broken part of her. She was right on the inside broken. And the memory of this little girl who was being smothered by a feather pillow when a man terribly abused her.
But she had no memory of that until the Holy Spirit showed her.
Absolutely. And she put her teeth into the pillow and the feathers came into her mouth. And she associated the feathers with the terrible things that were happening to her. And she had no memory of that, but what in her mind she had was the feathers. And so for the rest of her life, she was cursed by this. But when Jesus healed that memory, brought the trauma to the surface, set her free, forgave the man who'd done this, she was completely healed and had no problem with feathers after that.
There's an area that I just don't hear that much talk about. Freedom from trauma. There are a lot of people, Peter Horbin, that have been in military, and they come back and they can't even talk to their family about some of the trauma that they went through, and they have problems the rest of their life. There are other people that have traumas. In fact, in your seminar, you were talking about someone that even in the womb, one of your directors, before they were even born, tell me about the trauma that occurred to him.
Yeah, his name's Cyril, and he's Indian. And when he was in the womb, and he's probably about 3 months from being born, his mother watched, saw a man killed right in front of her, shot dead. And she was absolutely terrified, thinking that this was going to happen to her as well. And a child in the womb picks up all the things that the mother is going through. And he was traumatized in the womb. Now, he didn't come to us with the story saying, I was traumatized in the womb and I need prayer. He came to us because he was actually a pastor, a really good man, had a good ministry, but he said, I just can't move forward. I'm crippled with fear on the inside, and I'm reluctant to be able to do the things I know that God is telling me to do. The fear was controlling him. And so when our team prayed with him, and we were asking the Lord to show where the root was, they were right back into this experience. And this man, he began to cry as a little baby, as he was set free from the trauma that he picked up from his mother. Now, what happens in these cases is that Satan is no respecter of persons. And Jesus came to set captives free. And many people are in captivity to the enemy. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, deliver us from the evil one. And Cyril got delivered from the evil one. And it changed radically. And up to that point, he had a congregation, which is quite big, over 2,500. But in the next year, his congregation went right through the roof. And it finished up a year later with 12,500 in his congregation. And the restriction, the fear that was controlling and preventing him moving forward had gone, completely set free.
You know what I'm reminded of? You teach about Jesus said he came to bind up the brokenhearted. And in the Hebrew, what does brokenhearted mean?
Well, when in Isaiah 61, it says that the sovereign Lord would bind up or heal the brokenhearted. The Hebrew word there, brokenhearted, means actually shattered into separate pieces. It's the same word that was used when Moses threw down the tablets of stone and they were shattered into separate pieces when he came down from the mountain. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And that's what Jesus does. He binds up those who have been shattered by the experiences of life. One of the stories that has really thrilled us and amazed us and has blessed many people is the story just being published called Linda. And Linda, when she was 23 years of age, she fell off a cliff on a night hike with her youth group in Sydney in Australia. She fell onto jagged rocks below, and she broke her back in 4 places. She was helicoptered out 10.5 hours later, and 3 years down the line, the doctors could do no more for her. She's in constant pain. She's on medication for the pain, the side effects of the medication. She can hardly walk. 25 yards is as far as she could walk without having to stop for the pain to subside. She says, who's going to want to marry me? I'm never going to be able to have children. And she began to plan her own suicide. And in that moment of that stage of her life, we met her at a medical conference in Australia because she had been a nurse. She was now pensioned off on a lifetime disability pension. The doctors in Australia said she could never be healed. And so they put her on a lifetime pension. And as we began to explain to her about how trauma breaks us on the inside and our bodies reflect the pain that's still there, she began to understand that when she fell off that cliff, it wasn't just the body that was traumatized, but we are spirit, soul, and body. We're a person inside a body, as it were. And the doctors did everything they could to the body, but Jesus heals the soul and the spirit. And when we prayed for her, for that inner brokenness to be restored, as prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah 61, we watched as the Spirit of God came upon her and actually began to manipulate her whole body. Her body was being stretched out as if the spine was being stretched and then put back into place. And at the end of that evening, she stood up and she was completely healed. Today, she's not only healed, she went back to the doctors and said, I don't need my pension anymore. She was the first time person ever to come off a lifetime disability pension in Australia.
Now, that may be the solution to some of our problems in the United States.
Well, I believe passionately that that is the case. actually. She went back to work as a district nurse in the outback of Australia, and she fell in love with the son of one of the people she was nursing. And she's now married, and she's got her own children, and it's an amazing story. Jesus has given her back the years that we say the locust has eaten. Satan robbed her, but Jesus has healed her. Not just healed her, so that she's existing. She's living an abundant life and fulfilled as a mother as well. It's an amazing story.
Do you find many people that have had trauma in military that get set free? Could you give me an example?
Yes. I first learned about this when I was ministering to one of our team here in the United Kingdom who had been, he was a very old man when we prayed for him, but he had been a rear gunner during the Second World War. And he had had many terrible experiences in flying in those bombers and having to shoot the pilots of the attack aircraft that were coming upon him. And he'd had many horrendous experiences. And he'd locked them all away. And he really struggled with nightmares of these things that would come up at night, and he could never get them out of his mind until Jesus went right back into those experiences that he had. And I know today that there are many people who come out of the military, and in the First World War, they talk about people being shell-shocked. And the experiences that people have, whether it's Vietnam or whether it's Afghanistan or where, they are traumatized by what they have experienced. And I believe there are many, many of the military today that could be completely healed through Jesus, completely set free, if they were able just to come to him, not just as their savior so that when they die they're going to go to heaven, but that the kingdom authority of him who is the healer would come right into their lives, deal with the traumas they've gone through. And it may be painful, but it's only as you actually walk through the reality of what's happened with the one who can heal us that we can be set free, we can be healed on the inside, that inner brokenness can be restored. We can be delivered of the infirmity and the pain, and we can be given our lives back. I've seen it happen to so many people. I know it can happen to many, many more.
Peter, I don't hear many people talking about trauma. Why is that?
Maybe it's something that God is only really opening up to the body today to understand. But you see, wherever we go, if I ask people to put their hands up as to what traumas they've gone through, you'll find that in any congregation, with 100 people there, you'll find 75 of them at least have had either car accidents, they've fallen down stairs, they've fallen off horses, they've had military experiences, they've been abused.
Do you find many people have had sexual trauma before marriage?
Sexual trauma affecting the marriage? Oh, yes. I'll never forget a young couple who they've been married now 3 or 4 years, but they'd never been able to fully consummate their marriage. They loved each other very much. And when they got married, they longed to complete their relationship, but the marital bed became a place of terrible fear for the lady. And as we began to pray with her, she began to unpack the memories that she buried. She knew there was something bad back there to do with sex. And getting into bed brought those memories right, the fear that associated those memories right to the surface, but she didn't actually know what it was. And again, this was sexual abuse, where as a young girl of 5 or 6, where she was terribly hurt in awful sexual abuse. And so deep inside, that broken part of her associated sexual relationships with fear and pain. So it's no wonder that when she got into bed with her husband, she could not consummate the marriage because she was unhealed in this area of her life. She loved Jesus. She loved serving him, but she was unhealed. And it was only when he had healed these things that she was then able to fully consummate the marriage and then go on to have a normal married life.
Do you find that many people have these ungodly soul ties?
Yes, well, you're touching into another big subject.
I'll tell you what, we're out of time, but I wish everyone listening to us could go to one of your seminars, but we have it on CD. The anointing is so strong. Six CDs for a gift of $35. They include Freedom from the Enemy, Freedom from Fear, Trauma, Stress, Ungodly Soul Ties, Freedom for Your Destiny, Freedom in Your Thinking. Call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. 1-800-447-2697. I'm so excited to have Peter Horabinon, and I'm speaking to him at his home and office in Lancaster, England, and he is the director of LL Ministries, and they are dedicated. He has been called by God, handpicked by God to set people free. And most people don't even know the areas they have to be set free in, but they just know that they're not as free as the Bible says they're supposed to be. And by the time you go through this wonderful series on freedom, which was ministered in a live audience, after 20 years of being handpicked by God to teach in this area of freedom, this is the finest seminar. You'll go through this, you'll get free, and then you'll want to use this for Bible studies. I mean, there's areas that Peter Horabin, that you deal with, I don't hear people dealing with. For instance, most people don't even know the term, let alone they have this called ungodly soul ties. What is this?
I better unpack that a little bit, hadn't I? We are, as a human being, we're spirit, we're soul, and we're body. And we have relationships, and those relationships affect each part of our being. Now, when we have intimate relationships, we become joined in those relationships, and there are godly relationships, and there are ungodly relationships. Relationships are precious, and the relationships through which we trust people become a blessing to us. But not every relationship that we have is necessarily a godly relationship. And when we look at the Ten Commandments, for example, it's very clear. It says that you shall not commit adultery. Now, many people look at that and say, oh, this is God being unfair. He's stopping us having fun. But they don't realize that this is not God being unfair. This is the mercy and the grace of God warning us about the dangers that there are in ungodly sexual relationships. For when two people have sex together, they don't just become joined together in body. They become joined together in soul and spirit as well.
So and let me ask you this. If someone has a number of demonic issues and someone else has unbiblical sex outside of marriage with that person, I believe, as I've studied the scriptures, those demons now have access to their partner.
Absolutely. That is absolutely right, because it's like a channel is opened up for them to be able to move across. And many, many times we have prayed with people who have had ungodly sexual relationships, and they've become joined to the person they have sex with. So this is what God intended marriage to be, that you become joined. It's not just a bodily joining. You become joined in spirit and soul as well.
Peter, I've heard Christians that are married, one partner bumps into accidentally someone they had sexual relationships years ago, and even though they're believers, even though they know better, they leave their spouse, they leave their children. I mean, it's almost so hard to believe, but you understand what the pull is.
Well, I totally understand it, because I've seen the fruit of it. I'll give you a very simple illustration. A woman and her husband, they came unable to conceive a child, and they'd been married 6 years, longing for a child. And when we began to unpack their personal story, the lady admitted that she'd had sexual relationships with a man before her husband, just one man. But when she broke off that relationship, this man said to her, if you're not going to marry me, you will never have any children by anybody else. Now, she believed, and that was those words, and that was a curse. And because she was joined to that person sexually, there was a soul tied in existence between her and this man. She believed that, and she received a spirit which affected her ability to conceive. The good news is that we asked Jesus to undo that ungodly soul tie that she had. She was completely open, repentant. She humbled herself, brought it to the Lord, and she was delivered, and she was then healed, and she then was able to conceive a child. The consequences of ungodly sexual sin are long-term, and it's only Jesus that can set us free from those things.
What does someone have to do to be free from an ungodly soul tie?
Well, there are many different types of soul tie, but I'm talking here specifically about the sexual area.
Tell me some of the other areas.
Well, the other areas are to do with an emotional bonding. There can be domination and control. There are people that we become afraid of, but we're afraid to break away from that relationship, and you have domination, and then you have people who reject you, and then you've got a deep curse of rejection in your heart, and you don't want a relationship with this person, but because of the rejection, you almost feel tied to this person. And there are many different ways that this can happen, and God wants us to be free to be the people he wants us to be without the limitations of all these other relationships that can be really like a curse upon us. And as we pray with people and we ask the Holy Spirit to show the different areas, yes, we talk about the different areas where there's been sexual sin. And one of the tragedies today is that there's so much so wrong freedom in the world in terms of sexuality. And the church has taken on board that. And instead of we being salt and light into the world, so much darkness has come into the body as a result of ungodly relationships. And so it's quite unusual today to be counseling somebody who is about to get married and find that they haven't had any previous sexual relationships. Things have changed terribly in the last 20, 30, 40 years.
But you know what? I blame a number of the pastors that don't stand up there and call sin, sin. And as a result, they're looking more like and they feel, well, we want to relate to the world. And as a result, their young people are being lost rather than won.
Yeah. Yeah. If you read the first three or four chapters of Proverbs and the warnings that there are in there about ungodly relationships and ungodly ties and what they become like cords of death upon you. That's what the Word of God says. And we need to be speaking the truth. And whenever I teach on this whole area, people come up to me afterwards and say, why didn't someone tell me when I was young what the consequences of ungodly sexual sin is, and sexual relationships is? Because it's serious. But I don't want people to come under terrible condemnation hearing this, because what I'm bringing to you is a message of freedom. And it is only, however, as we bring things into the light that we can be set free from the consequences.
Well, it's like the devil gets you coming and going. The devil gets you before you're a believer, and then because of the shame issue,
yeah,
you never get free after you come to the Lord.
That's right. And this is why James says in James chapter 5, where he says, confess your sin one to another, not so that you be forgiven, but so that you'll be healed. And this is a very, very important verse, because the word confess is, it means much more than tell God what you've done wrong. And this is one of the deceptions which Satan loves people to have, is to think that in confessing sin, they're telling God what they've been up to. They forget that God is omniscient. He knows all things. He's not waiting for information about what we've been doing. The word confess means to come to a place of agreeing with what God thinks about our sin. And when we deal with that, and we come humbly, and it says one to another, and that's to deal with our pride. When we deal with our pride, he will raise us up. And the healing that flows is enormous. I'll never forget being at a large meeting when I taught on this whole area of sexual relationships and the consequences of ungodly sexual sin. And afterwards, probably two-thirds of the people came to the front confessing things that they'd never before brought to the light. But after that, it was an amazing move of God. After that, I then began to pray for physical healing. And the physical healing that took place in that meeting was astonishing, probably more than I'd ever seen before.
I have to believe that these keys that you talk about in your Freedom series, once people deal with all of these keys, they get free. And it's almost as if sickness has no place to hang on to them anymore.
That's right.
Peter, in one sentence, what is your goal in your heart of hearts for people?
Well, you put it into one simple sentence. It's the restoration of God's order in a person's life. Because when we become ordered in the ways of God, we're then able to move in the presence and the power of God. And to say that again, when we become ordered in the ways of God, we can then move in the presence and the power of God. And it's so, so precious to see God restoring people's lives, bringing them to a place of wholeness again, bringing them to a place where instead of suffering the consequences of the past and living under the circumstances, to see them rising above the circumstances and begin to enter into their destiny. One of the people we prayed for over a long period of time who came out of psychiatric care today, she's one of our teachers. And she teaches out of the experience. She had no hope. She was on a lifetime disability psychiatric pension here in the UK because the psychiatrist...
Oh, I'm sorry, we're out of time. I'm convinced that one of the keys for this greater power is taught by Peter Horobin. And Peter, most people look at the diseases, but they don't know the hidden roots of these diseases, and that's why there's such a mystery involving healing. Explain what you mean by that.
Yeah, well, the body, it reflects what's going on the inside. If you've got a happy smiling face, I don't look at you and say, oh, you've got a happy smiling face. I say, why are you feeling happy? Because your face is telling me something. And if you've got a miserable looking face, I don't say, oh, God gave you a miserable body. I say, what's gone wrong in your life? Because you're feeling something on the inside and your body is telling me what's going on. Now, that's a very simple illustration, but where the body can be a reflector of what's happening on the inside. And there are some very important roots, which not that the root of all diseases, but some of key things in people's lives where there's resentment and unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, and fear. And those things which control us deep on the inside, we then almost have to tiptoe around them. So we live in such a way that those things, we try and avoid them. So if you're afraid of something, you avoid circumstances where you're going to face your fear. So your body...
For instance, there's a lot of people that are afraid of public speaking. And they're part of their DNA destiny from God is to speak publicly, yet they're so fearful they won't do it.
Yeah, fear on the inside. They might be afraid of flying. They might be afraid of sort of things like spiders and things like that. And the fears on the inside can so grip us and so control us that we are limited in our potential in God, so that our life becomes smaller and smaller and smaller because the fear controls. Now, perfect love, Scripture says, casts out fear. But it's understanding what perfect love is. Now, perfect love is not something soppy. It's not something which is artificial. It's not something that you can buy in a candy shop. Perfect love is God looking right into our heart and being truthful with us. If he's really truthful with us, and we want him to be, he will show us the roots of the issues in our lives. See, love doesn't overlook things that need to be dealt with. Yes, we might we want to bless somebody, and we don't allow the things that are in the life that are wrong to stop us loving them. But if you really love somebody and you can see something that needs to be dealt with, you will face them with that in love. And the perfect love of Jesus says to each one of us, look at me and see the differences between where you're at and where I am. And we see in our life, we see these resentments, we see these angers, we see these bitterness, we see these fears and things. And we say, that's not what Jesus is like. And Jesus says, I want you to be like me. I want you to come up to where I am. I want you to face these things, and I want to deal with them in your life. I want to get rid of your fears. I want to get rid of the things that are holding you back. And I want to show you that with the root of them so that I can heal them and you can know that they're healed.
Give me an example of someone that went through your seminar, took the Freedom Series, and what happened to them.
I tell you the story of what happened in Florida. There's a lady, and she was actually a Russian lady, and her name was Olga. And Olga was a lady with a twisted spine. She had a scoliosis of the spine, and it was costing her husband a lot in physiotherapy to look after her. But she'd been like this for years. And she had issues in her life going way back, which made her fearful, which affected her relationships. But she knew that there was a physical thing there. And she'd asked God to heal the physical many times, but you know, he hadn't done. And it was only as we talked on forgiveness and dealing with fears and things that she remembered way back that when she was being brought up in Russia, that she had been abused by Russian army officers, and she buried it all, and she asked the Lord to give her the heart to forgive what they had done. And the physical damage had come as a result of that. And as she forgave, the fears began to lift off her. And not only did the fears lift off her and the enemy leave her behind, she forgave and she was physically healed and her back was straightened. And she came into the conference the following day. She said, I undressed last night. I looked at myself in the mirror. And my back is straight. And her husband confirmed it. See, there was a physical thing, which was an outworking of the spiritual. And fears can be crippling, unforgiveness and bitterness can be crippling on the inside, and our body reflects it.
You know, there is a story that you talk about in your series, the Freedom Series, that is so wonderful. The 18-year-old girl who was given 12 months to live because of kidney disease.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about
her. I'll never forget her. Her name was Karen, and she was asking for physical healing. She'd been in her local church, asked for prayer for healing, and people had laid hands on her for healing, but there was no healing. And she had a viral condition on both kidneys. And the doctors had said, the only thing that can save your life is a double kidney transplant. And they said, the chances of you getting that are very remote, and even if you got it, we cannot guarantee it will work. And she looked at me and said, I'm dying. I've got less than 12 months to live. And as I looked at her, the Lord just spoke into my spirit and said, ask her about her mother. And I argued with God. And I said, God, there's nothing wrong with her mother. It's her kidneys that are the problem. But the Lord was persisting. And I said, tell me about your mother. And she said, I don't know anything about my mother. When my mother was 16, she fell pregnant. And I am the result. And I was given away for adoption. And I looked at her in the face and I said, in that case, you are a product of sexual sin. Have you ever thought to forgive your mother and your natural father for what they did? And she said, no. I said, have you ever thought to thank God that you were not aborted? And she said, no. I said, will you do those things? Oh, yes. And she thanked God that she wasn't aborted. She forgave her mother. She forgave her father. And as I prayed for her, the Spirit of God came upon her. And she felt something coming right up out of the bottom of her belly, right up through her chest. And she coughed this thing out. And I said, how do you feel after that? She said, oh, I feel light. I feel something's changed, something's different. But her kidneys were still swollen, and I got a lady member of our team to just lay her hands upon these kidneys and pray in tongues for 20 minutes. I went off and prayed with somebody else, and I came back 20 minutes later, and I said to Karen, how are the kidneys? And she stood up straight, and she said, the swelling is gone, the pain is gone. She bent over and touched her toes, something she couldn't bend at all before. She wrote to me 6 weeks later, she said, I've been back to the hospital. The doctors have said they can no longer find any evidence of the viral condition. They told me to live a normal life and forget everything that she was told. When Jesus healed the inside, her body responded to healing. Until the inner healing had taken place, her body wasn't able to receive the healing.
We're making this 6-CD teaching series available for a donation of $35. It covers freedom in relationships, freedom on the inside, freedom from fear, freedom from trauma, freedom about your future. It's called the Freedom Series, a gift of $35. Peter, pray for those that have been listening to us right now.
Yes, indeed. Lord, I want to ask you now for every single person who's been listening to this broadcast, everyone, Lord, who knows that there are issues in their life, I ask, Lord, as that they open themselves up afresh to you, they humble themselves and say, Lord, I come to you as I am, and I ask you, Lord, to show me my heart so that I may be able to deal with anything that you show me. I want to be set free. I don't want to have anything that comes between me and you, Lord. Will you heal me, deliver me, and release me into my destiny, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Peter, I feel such a, and I told you this when we went off the air, there is such a presence of God going on right now. I believe people could get free of almost any area. And if they would just ask God, say, God, in Jesus' name, show me an area that's hidden that I need to either repent of for myself or the people or forgive. Show this to me right now. I believe if you'll do that, God will show you. And in Yeshua's name, you are healed. Backs are being healed. Spines are being straightened right now. Necks are being healed. A pain of all kind is leaving. This Shabbat broadcast, let me bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you his shalom, his completeness in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. In the name of the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness.
Yivarechecha Adonai ve'yishmarecha Yo'er Adonai panav elecha v'chonecha Yisarona
To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpacha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.